As I mentioned, it's Valentine's Day evening here on 700 WLW, so I'm talking to people I love or people who have topics that I love talking about, and one of those is how important it is to support our law enforcement and to understand the threats they are facing because of false narratives and just outright lies. To talk about that for a few minutes tonight, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, a spokesperson for the National Police Association. Sergeant Smith, good evening. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, and thanks so much for having me on Valentine's Day evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to have you. And again, I love talking about this topic because a lot of people aren't. A lot of people are just glossing over the fact that our law enforcement officers around the country are, number one, being villainized like they're the criminals, and number two, the threat to their lives, their very existence being threatened by merely doing their jobs on a daily basis, and it's just getting exponentially worse, seemingly, by the month. Where are we with officers being killed in the line of duty so far in 2023? Do you have any stats on that, Betsy?
I do. So far, officers shot this year is up 113% already. We're only in the middle of February compared to 2020. We've had nearly 40 police officers shot already in the United States. Five have been killed by gunfire. And at least 10 of those police officers were shot in ambush style attacks. We also had a Colorado police officer who just died this week after he actually fell chasing a group of carjackers. He fell off an overpass and just succumbed to his injuries. So, I mean, this is, here we are already about 45 days into the new year, and American law enforcement officers, of course, are sacrificing, and they are doing what they can to keep their community safe. We saw them last night. So many police officers running toward the shots, multiple shooting scenes, of course, in East Lansing, Michigan,
yes.
With the horrible shooting in Michigan State. That's what cops do. And we just want to be able to keep doing it and do it safely.
Well, every time there is someone who is either unarmed or seemingly not necessarily breaking any law per se, on video anyway, and we see an officer involved and there's a death, it is made out to be by many in the media and certain public officials, and this is shameful on their behalf, it's because, the police are not being used correctly, or there's a lack of training, or we need to reimagine the police. And every place you've seen the police reimagined, things have only gotten worse for law-abiding citizens. And it happens every time. And people act like what happened with Derek Chauvin and George Floyd in Minneapolis is the norm. They act like what happened with the five officers on the Scorpion Squad in Memphis, Tennessee, as the norm. These are anomalies. And you will have excellent police officers, and you will have the occasional, is every lawyer great? No. And can it mean life or death for you? Could mean freedom or incarceration. Is every doctor good? No. But because you've got one bad physician, you want to get rid of doctors altogether? I mean, that's the mentality, isn't it?
Well, it absolutely is. 250,000 people every year die of medical mistakes. I don't see any groups, protesting hospitals and wanting to throw doctors in prison. We had 350 public school teachers arrested last year for committing sex crimes against their students,
yep.
Children. Nobody's protesting that, but yet, when you look at American law enforcement, take a look at who collects statistics on police-involved shootings. The CDC, you know, there's certain political groups that love what the CDC says. In 2019, the CDC said police killings comprise only 1.4% of all violent deaths in this country. You know, we kill about 1,000 people a year. Why does that happen? Because someone is either trying to kill us or trying to kill an innocent third party. And yet you have, like you said, you know, people like Joe Biden yesterday tweeting out that, oh yeah, cops deserve to come home safe, but we need to hold them to higher standards. We need to get them better training because they're not trained correctly. We need to invest in communities to prevent violence. He's demanding that Congress act. He never talks about the criminals. There's 750,000 other police officers out there besides the few bad apples trying to do their job yesterday. Again, we saw him run toward the shots in East Lansing, Michigan. And yet all he wants to tweet is about how bad American law enforcement is. And quite frankly, it's getting us hurt and getting us killed because people don't have an understanding of what cops really do and the few times that they are involved in use of deadly force.
Yeah, I don't see Al Sharpton or any of these other people who are proudly step in front of the cameras and the microphones blaming police. I don't see them on the stump or, you know, committing themselves to vigils because they're caring individuals and they want to see the end of the violence. They just want peace. I never see them at rallies or vigils for fallen police officers who were killed by the same kind of criminals that they're deifying in many cases.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, look, what happened to Tyre Nichols in Memphis, Tennessee, is a horrific criminal act. And guess what? Those five former police officers are going to face justice. They are all going to be charged with high felonious crimes, as they should be. That was not police culture that you saw on video. What you saw was criminal culture, thug culture, and those men are no longer police officers and probably shouldn't have been hired in the first place. But again, looking at President Biden, who used to be a friend of the American law enforcement officer, now when he did the State of the Union address the other night, he not only brought Tyre Nichols' parents with, he brought the father of Michael Brown, a young man from Ferguson, Missouri, and this is what really started the most recent war on cops. Michael Brown was shot by a police officer who Michael Brown was trying to disarm after he had just committed a strong arm robbery. The Justice Department, the local prosecutor, and the city all determined that no crime had been committed by that police officer that was forced to shoot Michael Brown. And yet Joe Biden brings the father of that young man to the State of the Union address as though he's some sort of a bastion of good parenting who lost his son in a non-criminal way. Michael Brown was a thug, and his father should have done a much better job trying to raise him. You know, his father didn't have custody of him. His stepfather, a gangbanger, and his wife did. So I'm not sure why some of the political left likes to try to take on law enforcement as though we are somehow the problem. It's time to take on the criminals. It's time to punish the criminals. It's time to call them out. It's time to talk about the crimes being committed, not the things that are happening because American law enforcement is forced to act.
It's kind of amusing to me in a way. I mean, it's all very, very sad and sick, honestly, but it's kind of amusing to me when mayors like London Breed in San Francisco, who was all about defunding the police and reimagining the police, is saying, you know what? We need more law enforcement in San Francisco. Whoops. What did I do? And you see this flip around every time normal people and people start fleeing your city because it's unsafe because of the policies you've instituted. And all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, well, maybe we shouldn't have done that. And also in the case of Memphis, And in case of law enforcement agencies around the country that have decided to lower their standards of people, and you mentioned the five in Memphis, maybe these guys shouldn't have ever been police officers in the first place, but local police departments are having trouble filling. I mean, we're having that issue in Cincinnati. The recruitment is down, the classes are down, and they're wondering, to get enough people on the streets to keep the city a safe and viable city, we're going to have to do something to lower standards. And that's not the answer, is it?
No, and in fact, it's part of the problem.
Yes.
You know, we saw that in Memphis. At least two of those five officers were hired under, quote-unquote, relaxed standards, and that's happening all over the country. And it's not just the big cities. Now we're seeing it in smaller cities, and now it's starting to creep into the suburbs and into the rural areas where police officers are leaving and there's nobody coming up behind them to take their place. So that is, you know, we have a recruiting crisis, we have a retention crisis, and we have a crisis with so many officers retiring the minute that they are able to leave. So what you're going to have is less qualified police officers. And again, with defunding, and I know that the defund the police has been largely walked back by everyone, but it's going to take years, if not a decade, to recover from that defunding. Because when you take money away from your police department, you know, remember 90% of your police budget is staffing, and that includes training, that goes out the window. It includes community policing efforts, those go out the windows. And you just now have enough cops to be able to answer those radio calls. That, you know, you have that in Cincinnati where your nighttime patrol officers are getting in the car and they have 10, 15, 20 calls holding the minute that they sign on for their shift. That's very difficult to deal with, and it's difficult to catch up and be proactive about what you're doing out there as a cop.
If you're not an anti-cop activist and you're just listening to this, what would you say to people who were tuned in, who's just the average law-abiding citizen, Betsy, as a spokesperson for the National Police Association, what would you tell them that they should think about and they should do in relation to keeping our city safe? What should we do?
Well, first of all, what you should do is make sure that you are aware that if you so desire, get armed and trained yourself, because the police can't be everywhere at once. And then you need to get vocal to your local leadership. As they say, all politics are local. Contact your mayor, contact the city council, contact your county board and say, hey, we want more cops. We want you to pay them better. We want you to treat them better. And then when you see your local deputy or your local city cop, you know, smile at them, wave. Go to our website, nationalpolice.org. We have a fantastic, we have different programs. For example, we have a Thank a Cop billboard, and you can donate to that effort and some of the other efforts that we have around the country. We know, because I know that most people listening to this are thinking, hey, I don't hate cops. I'm glad when I see them drive around my neighborhood. Make sure that your local police department knows that and your local political leadership knows that you don't want less cops, you want more, and you want to be treated better because they're doing a really tough job, and we need them.
Yes, we do. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith from the National Police Association. You say nationalpolice.org, Betsy?
Yes, go to nationalpolice.org and follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, because we have a fantastic social media presence that'll help you support your local law enforcement officer.
See, I knew I would love to talk to you on Valentine's Day. Great stuff.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith from the National Police Association on the Nightcap.